ministers, guests. You're just waiting for the chairperson to reconnect. She's just having some problems with her internet connection.
Audible.
Yes, chairperson.
Okay, so my apologies for that. It seems that the network is not too great today. But let me once again take this opportunity to welcome you. I think, Gershwin, if you can just assist me because I see other members have also fallen off the platform. But just in terms of today's meeting, we intend adopting, in terms of our agenda, we intend dealing with the adoption of the NPA Authority Amendment Bill, as well as continue with the processing of the IPED Amendment Bill. So just in terms of attendance, we have Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Michalakis, Honorable Dodobo, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Dango, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Barnards. Yeah, and I saw Honorable Bartlett earlier, so I hope she's not thrown off. But Gershwin, we are good to go, right?
Thank you, Chairperson. Section 75 legislation, so we just have a simple majority, Chairperson.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much, Gershwin. Okay, once again, welcome on members. Justin, let me also take this opportunity to welcome the I see the Deputy Minister for Justice was on the platform. I hope he's still on the platform. I noted him earlier, as well as the legal team from the Department and Parliamentary Legal Services as it relates to the NPA Amendment Bill. I had also noted the Deputy Minister for Police present on the platform. The Acting Secretary of the CSPS, Mr. Romaru, and I also noted the Executive Director from of IPED on the platform as well. As well as the legal teams from the department and parliament, welcome to all of you, as well as to all other officials that may be on the platform. That being said, on members, we'll then move on to the first agenda item, which is the NPA Amendment Bill. Members will recall that the bill establishes the Investigating Directorate Against Corruption as a permanent entity within the office of the NDPP, and also provides for the appointment and powers of investigators and their remuneration and conditions of service. Our last meeting, honourable members, the department responded to the four submissions that were made on our bill. The department also responded to some comments that were made by members and assured members that a broader review of legislation pertaining to the NPA will be conducted in the new administration, and that such a bill should be tabled as early should be tabled early in 2025. The department also stated that in terms of responses to members, the department stated that investigators will be appointed by the NPA, not the Department of Justice, and that the work of the investigators is of importance in the work of the investigating directorate. And I think the DM also assured members that in terms of appointments, that capable, competent, skillful, qualified, and knowledgeable investigators will be employed by the NPA. Honourable members, we had also said in that meeting that we would then, in the next meeting, which is this one, we would then deal with the adoption of the bill. If you allow me, honourable members, then to table the bill to the committee for adoption without amendments. If members are happy with that, I would request that if there's a mover of the adoption of the NPA Amendment Bill without amendments, it's B29B 2023. Is there a mover for the adoption of the bill, honourable members?
Yes, Chair.
Honourable Maleka moves.
Yes, I move for the adoption of the bill.
Okay, Honorable Dodovo, your hand is up. Are you seconding?
Yes, I do, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any objections and/or abstentions? Okay, there are none. All members, then the bill, the and National Prosecuting Authority Amendment Bill B29B 2023 is duly adopted by the committee without amendments. All members, then please allow me then to table the committee report on the NPA Amendment Bill. Gershwin, if you could just briefly take members through the report.
Thank you, Chairperson. Forgive me, I'm keeping my video off because of network problems.
Understandable. Please continue, Gershwin.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we're tabling the report of the Select Committee on the ND. Oh, forgive me, I've got the wrong report on the screen. Thank you, Chief. We're tabling the report on the National Prosecuting Authority Amendment Bill B29B-2023, National Assembly, Section 75, and dated today, Chairperson. The bill was referred to us on the 5th December 2023, and we will be reporting that it was agreed to without proposed amendments, Chair. The background, Chair, the bill seeks to amend the National Prosecuting Authority Act 98. So as to insert certain definitions to provide for the establishment of the Investigating Directorate Against Corruption and its powers and functions, the appointment of investigators in the Investigating Directorate Against Corruption, the vetting of investigators, the remuneration condition of service of investigators, the establishment of mechanisms to deal with complaints of a serious nature pertaining to persons appointed at or assigned to an Investigating Directorate, the powers and functions of investigators, to provide for transitional arrangements and for matters connected therewith. Chairperson, the committee invited stakeholders and interested persons to make written submissions and publish the adverts in all official languages on Parliament's electronic platforms from 7 December 2023 to 26 January 2024. In summary, Chairperson, we received four submissions from AfriForum, Council for the Advancement of South African Constitution, Transnet, and the Helen Suzman Foundation. We've included the annexure chair from the department with the responses to those submissions. In terms of the committee process, the committee was briefed on the bill on 21 February 2024, and a briefing on the submissions was received. On 28 February 2024, the Select Committee deliberates on the bill, and today, Chairperson, the committee adopted the bill as referred without proposed amendments. Chairperson, I'm going to leave the recommendation in your capable hands.
Thank you very much, Gershwin. Our members, so just in terms of our recommendation in relation to the NPA Amendment Bill B29B 2023, which is Section 75 Bill, referred to the committee on the 5th of December 2023, that the committee recommends that the council pass the bill without proposed amendments. That would be our recommendation. On members, I'll open it up to yourselves once again if you have any addition or amendment that you would want to make to the report. If there are none and you're happy with the report, then I would request if there's a member who would want to then move for the adoption of the report. Honourable Maleka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Any seconder, Honorable Dodo?
Honorable Chairperson, I second. Honorable Bartlett.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Bartlett. Honorable Dodo, I take it you were also going to second, but be that as it may, the report is seconded by the committee. Are there any objections, abstentions? Okay, if there are none, thank you very much, members. The report is duly adopted. But in conclusion, perhaps I would also want to say that we emphasize the importance of the broader reform that is required to address the concerns raised in respect of the NPA's independence. And we encourage the department to conclude such a bill timelessly, as it will serve to strengthen the work of the NPA in ensuring that the public receives access to justice efficiently and effectively, and indeed our members as well will go a long way in formally establishing the ID Investigating Directorate Against Corruption as an independent entity, and by providing for the appointment of investigators to strengthen the fight against corruption. Let me thank members of the public, the department, members of the committee, and the legal advisors for their valuable input in finalizing the NPA amendment bill. Thank you, honourable members. We'll then move on to the second.
Thanks, Chair, for the prompt, and I presume I can leave now.
Thank you very much, DM. My apologies. I always take it that once you're done with your agenda item, but I suppose we should release you. So you and your team from the department.
I am polite, Chair. I am polite.
Thank you very much, DM and your team. Our members will then move to the next, the third agenda item, rather, which is in relation to the continuing our deliberation on the IPED amendment bill. Once again, our members, the bill seeks to entrench the institutional and operational independence of IPED, as well as to make it explicitly clear that IPED must be independent, impartial, and must exercise its powers and functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. And in our last meeting, honorable members, we received the department's responses to the submissions, the public submissions that were made on the bill. And also during our deliberations, clarity was sought on the safeguards that are in place to ensure the independence of the panel, as well as the qualifications of panel members. I think the department had responded to those concerns and indicated that there are guidelines in terms of the public service regulations and the act which determines how this panel will be appointed, as well as the qualifications of panel members. Members also sought clarity on IPED's response to the recommendation by Gumtree South Africa in respect of their suggestions that the IPED Act be amended to ensure that new policing bodies such as the Western Cape Law Enforcement Advancement Program officers and the Gauteng Crime Prevention Wardens fall under the director's authority. And I think in response to that, the department indicated that the proposal is at odds with the constitutional mandate of IPED and quoted section 206 sub 6 of the constitution, wherein LEAP and Gauteng Warden, they do not fall under the definition of Section Chapter 12 of the South African Police Service Act 68 of 1995, which defines that a metro police officer and a police officer, what a metro police officer and a police officer is, and that the LEAP officers do not fall under that definition. Also, with regard to the discharge of an official firearm, the department provided statistics and also stated that the police, within the course and scope of their duties, would discharge a firearm, but this would be investigated. I think when it becomes a murder or attempted murder charge, the investigation would determine whether they have exceeded the boundaries of what is proposed in Section 49 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Our members, that's just to sum up the discussions on the bill thus far. I will once again open it again to honorable members. If you have any other inputs that you would like to make on the bill, please, if you can give me an indication and so that we can continue with that process. Honorable Bartonhoffs, let's see your hands up.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to just keep my video off to save bandwidth. I've also got issues where I am at the moment with regards to bandwidth. Good morning, colleagues, and thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Chair, let me start off, if I may. I'm going to open my notes here that I've made this morning. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Honourable Barnes. Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, insofar as the main object of this bill would be to amend the Act in order to cure certain defective clauses contained therein, as was in fact declared unconstitutional in the McBride case, specifically with regards to the better provision for IPED's institutional and operational independence, as you allude to, and to ensure parliamentary oversight in the event of the executive director's removal from office. The lack of independence of the appointment of the executive director and the fact that the minister still has significant powers in terms of the appointment, we feel in the DA fails to achieve the entrenchment of IPED's institutional and operational independence, and making it expressly clear that IPED must be independent, impartial, and exercise its powers and functions without fear, favour, or prejudice. So if you look at the specific bills, the proposed clause 3 of the bill, which seeks to amend section 4 of the Act, makes it express that IPED is to be institutional and operationally independent, and is to exercise its powers and perform its functions without fear, favour, prejudice, or undue influence. However, it is our view that this clause does not expressly stipulate that IPED is to be independent from SAPS as is provided for in the Act. Moving on to proposed clause 4 of the bill, which seeks to amend section 6 of the Act, through the retaining of the Parliamentary Committee's mandate to confirm or reject the minister's nominee to the executive directorship, this does not contain sufficient safeguards, in our opinion, in guaranteeing the independence of the panel to be appointed by the minister to assist him in identifying suitably qualified candidates for the directorship, one of whom will in turn be recommended to the Parliamentary Committee for approval. So this proposed clause also fails to ensure that the panel itself will be appropriately qualified. What this means is that the minister can essentially appoint whomever he chooses to the panel, which negates the whole purpose of the panel. The panel will therefore be, for all intents and purposes, be an extension of or a mouthpiece of the minister in this case. Moving on to proposed clause 13 of the bill, which is seeking to amend section 23 of the Act, it seeks to place the determination of IPED's investigators' conditions of service, salaries, and allowances in the hands of the minister. So although it be in consultation with the minister responsible for finance, the Act as it stands guarantees that investigators' conditions of service are on par with members appointed as detectives in the SAPS. By removing this guarantee and conferring the responsibility for these determinations in the minister's hands further undermines IPED's independence and increases the risk of executive and political interference. There are a few other changes which we also feel have been done without any real valid reasons. And you alluded to the discharge of the official firearm by a member of the SAPS, and in the cases of ordinary or common assault by members of SAPS. But for now, we feel that for the main purposes of this bill, talking to the independents, this bill, should it be signed into law as it is at the moment, and should it be challenged in court, it's going to fail to fulfill the requirements of the McBride case. That's all for me for the moment. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Bardenhorst. Is there any other member that wants to raise any question for clarity and or comment that they would want to make? Honourable Dudovu, and I think after I take Honourable Dudovu, if there's no other hand, then we'll get the department as well to make some inputs. Honourable Dudovu.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Firstly, let me thank the department, especially the Deputy Minister, for shepherding this process throughout to support us, to provide us with the necessary information in respect of this particular bill. And having listened to Honourable Bardenhorst, it is quite clear that the thrust of his argument is the fact that if it is done in the way that it is proposed in the bill, will not be independent, and the court can easily set this particular appointment or the process itself unlawful or unconstitutional. I differ with that kind of the approach. Firstly, as you are aware, there is a panel, and the suggestion is not founded of the fact that this panel, because it is appointed by the minister, it will be of people without the necessary skills, expertise, qualification, and experience, and all of that. And these people, because they are appointed in the way that would have been appointed the panel, they are going to succumb to any authority or minister of the police. I don't think that this is a right way of proceeding. The fact that we are proposing in terms of this bill that the IPED executive director must be appointed, and this, in addition, Honorable Chair, it's not a Chapter 9 institution. It's an independent body. It's an independent directorate that deals specifically with the conduct of the members of the police service as such. And I think this bill has gone a long way to cure the defects which were identified by the Concord, specifically in the case of the of McBride, and it has gone a long way to allay the fears and concerns which were raised in respect of this particular matter. And in that sense, I think it needs to be supported. The IDP and its work and its independence must be supported, and that this process must be fast-tracked and come to its final and logical conclusion, so that work must be done quite properly and the necessary systems and structures be put in place to ensure that at the end of the day, IPED is effective and it accomplishes its predetermined objective. And in that sense, I think that this bill has largely, to a greater extent, addressed all the issues that Honorable Badenhorst has raised. And there is no question, if you are in government, you have a minister obviously comes from a particular political party, but that doesn't suggest that when you appoint a panel to deal with this kind of work, you are not going to consider the skills, the expertise, as well as the qualifications of the people appointed. Actually, it is in the best interest of us as a country to ensure that in all stations of life, we appoint people with the right expertise to do the job of the state, because these people who are appointed, they serve the nation and they don't serve a particular political party or a particular political interest. In that sense, I think that this bill suffices and we need to agree on it and at the end of the day, adopt it and adopt the report itself. Thank you very much. And Honorable Chair, please, I want to reprimand this honorable member, Brian Smith. He must respect me. He mustn't call me a praise singer. I articulate my views independently in this committee. I make contributions. This unwarranted comment that he always makes, they are unnecessary and they are childish, coming especially from his side. He must raise his hand and articulate his views and not make some silly comments that has nothing to do with what we are doing here and undermine my intellect and my authority to make a contribution in this particular meeting.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dodo. I'm just noting the comments on the chat group as well now. That you made me aware. And I'm going to request Honorable Smith that if you have something to say, please raise it. But please do not do what you're doing on the chat group. Honorable Badenhorst, I see you raised your hand again. Do you want to come in now or should I just get responses as well from the department?
No, that's fine. We'll wait for responses to the department. I'll lower my hand.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Badenhorst. Maybe then, I think there have been a few issues that have been raised by Honorable Badenhorst, and I think Honorable Dodo has also raised and tried to also address some of the other issues as well and some of the issues that were raised. But I think, DM, from your side and the department, obviously from a policy and technical perspective, I think if you have any comments that you would want to, or responses that you would want to make in terms of the issues that were raised. DM?
No, Chair, morning to members of the committee. And once again, we appreciate this opportunity to interact with yourselves. We take note of what Honorable Baden-Horst has said, but we are of the view that we have addressed those issues. But I will request that we allow Advocate Bell through and the Secretariat to respond to those issues. Through you, Chairperson, Advocate Bell can come in.
Advocate Bell?
Secretary, any person who is with who was dealing with the matter, who was there?
I will follow up with Advocate Bell to check what is happening. I think they may be having a connectivity challenge, but maybe suffice to indicate that the first issue on.
I'm so sorry, Chair. It appears that I've been muted the whole time that I've been speaking. I've greeted everyone. I'll do that again. Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Honourable DM. Mr. Amaru and all other colleagues on the platform. As I said, the Honorable Dodogo has already covered most of what we were going to answer to, and it will just be a repetition mainly. But just to also say that in terms of the independence and the impartiality of IPED, the Act does implore each organ of state to assist the Directorate and to maintain its impartiality and to perform its functions effectively. So that would include SAPS as well. But it does not mean that IPED is dependent on SAPS. Then to just move on to the appointment that also been dealt with the powers of appointment, as we stated in our previous engagements on this issue, that we are guided by the legal framework on how appointments of national heads are made, and so the minister too is guided by these but these aspects of these the legal framework. Which includes the Act and the regulations, Public Service Act, the regulations, and the Executive Protocol 2020. So it's also, Chair, just it's been the practice over the years that the Minister has a panel which assists him in the shortlisting, the interviews, the nomination, and the recommendation to Parliamentary Committee for confirmation or rejection of the candidate. So this is nothing that's new in this bill. Then, with regards to the remuneration of the investigators, Chair, if you go to clause 22 towards the end of the bill, clause 22 is a safeguard to ensure that the conditions of service, including the remuneration and benefits that are payable to the employees of the IPED, including the investigators. Before the commencement of these amendments to the Principal Act are not less favorable upon the commencement of the Act. And the salaries of the investigators is also taken out of the budget of IPED. It's not just something that the minister will decide on, because there will be protocols that the minister will have to be guided also in terms of National Treasury and other pieces of legislation and guidelines. I think that's as far as I can go, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Advocate Bell. Mr. Ramaru, over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think Advocate Bell has covered us very well. Thanks.
Okay, no, it's fine. You were actually on the platform when Advocate Bell came on. I didn't want to stop her, so I just thought perhaps if you had anything to add, you could do that as well. Then yourself, DM.
Thank you, Chair. I think we are happy with the responses that has been made by committee members and their comments. And I think Honorable Dodovo did appropriately respond. I think we're happy with the presentations. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. Honorable Barton, your hand was up earlier, so I'm not sure if you had a follow up then, or you wanted to make a comment then.
Chair, I wanted to thank Honorable Dodovo actually, because he's just eloquently explained exactly how carrier deployment will undermine this bill. So I just want to thank him for that. I strongly feel that this bill is giving way too much powers to the minister. And we've seen in the past what happens when a minister interferes and gets excessive powers with the appointment of panels and of the executive director. So yeah, I'd like to stand by our view as Democratic Alliance. And Chair, I'd like to ask you if we could consider noting our minority view when the report gets adopted. Thank you. I have sent a copy of our view to the Secretariat for that purpose as well. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Badenos. Okay, but obviously, if there is a minority view, let me just remind you that I think it's best that it's formalized. So that we're able as a committee to also like get it clearly, you know, what is been said. I think you're familiar in previous bills as well. You would actually provide us with the actual issue or concisely. You would present the issue concisely rather. But anyway, honorable members, I think I would want to maybe see if you have any other additional comments. Okay, I see Honorable Smith is very busy on the platform. But anyway, that be that as it may, our members, I think we're honorable members in this meeting, and we would expect, you know, some level of respect amongst ourselves. So yeah, it's very uncalled for, and I'm not sure why Honorable Smith insists on doing what he's doing on the platform. It's rather unfortunate, but be that as it may, honorable members, I would propose that given the issues that were raised, the explanations provided by both the civilian secretariat as well as the comments also made by Honorable Dodovo, I see that Honorable Badenhorst or the DA position is not you don't want to budge in terms of the explanations that were given, and that you're proposing that if we take the process forward, you would then want your minority view reflected in the report. I would maybe just want to check with Honorable Badenhorst if you have that view concisely. A concise view that you can maybe read out to. Are you ready with that view that you can read out to the committee? I think that's what I would want to verify from yourself, Honorable Badenhorst. I understand that in as much as we sent out the notice around this, we did indicate that it would, as if we take the process forward, it will obviously be after we exhaust deliberation, which I think we have. But I need to just know from yourself if you are ready.
Tree, thank you very much. I stand by my comments that I made in the beginning of the meeting.
I just want to know if you
I have sent that already to I forwarded that already on an email to the secretariat of the committee.
Okay. Okay. No, that's fine, Honorable Badenoch. I just wanted to know, because we're not at that point yet, but I thought if I need to take processes forward, it will be important to have an indication from yourself that you are ready. Okay. Be that as it may, Honourable Members, if there's no other further discussion for deliberation, I think then, Honourable Members, we can then push ahead with the adoption of the bill. Okay, Honourable Mikolakis, your hand was up earlier, and then you dropped it, so I didn't know if you still wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Honourable Mikolakis?
Thank you very much.
Let me take your hand.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, now I was hoping that we were going procedurally in the right direction, but I am slightly concerned. Chairperson, just procedurally, I do not think that it is sound for us to consider the adoption and the report in the same meeting as the deliberation. Procedurally, I would imagine, because it is going to set a very, very bad precedent, albeit yeah, at the end of the parliamentary term, for us to consider the report and the adoption in the same meeting as during our final deliberations. I would like to appeal to you that we perhaps let the consideration itself stand over, as is the normal process and practice when considering the bills. Thank you.
You know, thanks, Honourable Mikolakis. We have previously dealt with adoption and deliberation in the same meeting, but I think, Honourable Members, I also just received a notice from Gershon as well that he has received something from Honourable Badenoch as well, but I think it's pretty much long, etc. So perhaps it would also need. Perhaps Mr. Honorable Badenoch can re-look at it and consolidate it into a much more concise input. I'm making a serious assumption, here, Honorable Badenoch, because I've not seen what you submitted to the Secretariat either. Maybe then, Honorable Members, given that we did indicate it's a provisional item on the agenda, and I mean there were no objections to that. And I think when we do process bills, we tend to go procedurally through issues. But I would take it that, it's not a train smash. Honourable Members, that we then just deal with the adoption in the next meeting, when we also allow Honourable Badenoch to re-look at the issue so that, I mean, we don't want a whole page of issues. He needs to be clear in terms of what... Or the DA needs to be clear just in terms of how they want to present their minority view in the report. So we'll give you time for that as well. I think that being said, Honourable Members, Honourable Members, we've actually exhausted the agenda items, and then we would in the next meeting deal with the adoption, etc., of the bill and the report. And that being said, Honourable Members, let me thank you once again. Let me thank you, DM, and the Mr. Romaro from the Civilian Secretariat, as well as your team, for making the necessary presentations to the committee, and all other members who are on the platform. That's fine. Let us then take this process forward, Honourable Members, in our next meeting. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.